John's Gospel, session number 2. In session 1, we learn that Christ brings us life, and that life is the knowledge of God as our Father. I've decided on a bold move, which may prove to be a reckless one. What we're going to see in terms of structure in chapters 1 to 11 is this. The seven marks of present salvation, otherwise known as the seven marks of Christian experience, and these are matched by and with the seven chapters 5 to 11. Some may be skeptical of this at first, as I was, until compelled to recognize the facts of the matter. By rights, therefore, this second session should have been chapter 5, corresponding to the prologue. But I postponed this until session number 3. In this second session, I propose to take the seventh and final hallmark of experience, chapter 4, 43 to 54, which is on victory over death, and show how John 11, the story of Lazarus, matches it. Both, as I say, are on the victory over death Jesus won, and the assurance this provides for the Christian believer. Incidentally, you might expect such a theme to be the seventh and final one, both in chapters 1 to 4 and in chapters 5 to 11, because this is a carefully formulated list. John is an organizer. Anyhow, this is John's method, not mine, and we must allow him to organize his rich material just as he wishes. John 4, 43 to the end, then. Jesus heals the official's son. It's urgent. A youngster is sick in Capernaum. He's close to death, in fact. But there's a glimpse of hope. It's reported that Jesus is back from Passover. Everyone's talking about his doings there. Hearing this news, the boy's father takes courage and action. He'll beg Jesus for his help. If only he'd come and see the lad, life would be saved. Otherwise, it's pretty hopeless. The doctors have said so, not a minute to lose. The response, in fact, was not very encouraging. Unless you people see signs, you'll never believe. This the father sweeps to one side. Come down, sir, before my child dies. Two sentences then follow, which turn out to be pretty central to the whole Gospel of John. First, Jesus speaks. Go home, nothing to fear, your son lives. And then the father acts. He took Jesus at his word and set off at once for home with no further ado. Please compare that with John 20:29, a crowning point in John, the whole issue of belief and sight. At home, the servants meet him. Your son's perfectly well, sir. When did he begin to recover? Sir, at the stroke of 1 o'clock. And that turns out to be the very moment the promise was made. So faith is confirmed, and the whole household believe. So there's a little vignette of the victory over death at the end of the first section, chapters 1 to 4. Turn now to John 11, the familiar story of the raising of Lazarus. Another very quick summary. A message for Jesus is very urgent. Lord, the one you love is sick. It's serious. However, Jesus stays just where he is. In different words, he delays his coming. 2 days later, Jesus sets off for Bethany. He's much too late, of course. When he arrives, Lazarus has already been in his tomb for 4 days. It's all done and dusted. The two sisters are bewildered. But as we might say, bless their hearts, they're dead loyal. Both at different moments say the very same thing. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. There follow the matchless words, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Many people start to arrive. Mary weeps. Deeply troubled, the Lord weeps too. Did he see down the centuries his own people? unable to hold back the tears as their loved ones died, just like everyone else. After a long battle, burial Wednesday 15th of October, family only please, it all seems so cold and hopeless. Take away the stone. Martha can't help herself. Lord, 4 days, be a terrible smell. Didn't I tell you, you will see the glory of God? There follows a prayer of gratitude in the public everyone hears. And then a loud voice of command, Lazarus, come out. Every eye turns, and he does so. Of course, he's stumbling because he's badly wrapped up tightly in cloths, and he can't see very well because of that thing round his head. The second command, take off those grave clothes, let him go free, let him see where he's going. It's an interesting question, isn't it? On the third morning, very early, before Mary reached the garden tomb, question, did a mighty angel say to a shining colleague, give us a hand, we must get these strips of linen off him so that he can walk properly? And that cloth round his head so tight he won't be able to see. Just fold it, will you, and put it over there. Please forgive such foolishness. Jesus rose in the power of an endless life. No barrier could hold him. If a mighty angel rolled the tomb door away, it was not to let Jesus out, of course, but let Peter and John in. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. When he comes. At present, we are told he delays his coming. And it's just because he delayed his coming to Bethany that Lazarus died. And so shall we who believe in him, even though we know about Christ's victory over death. And remember, Lazarus actually had to die all over again and a second funeral to be arranged. Any of the surviving sisters would be in tears again, all over again. I suspect that for most of us, one funeral is quite sufficient. Let's not repeat the agony. And now we know what John is telling us. And what he's telling us throughout this first half of his gospel. He's telling us that present salvation is ours. Chapters 1 to 4. We are marked with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. But he's also telling us that full salvation is not ours yet, chapters 5 to 11. Paul, of course, was so clear about it, and we probably learned it first from him, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Such a vital reminder. Now I know in part, then shall I know fully. But it's intriguing, isn't it, that John teaches exactly the same. Chapter 1 to 4 tells us of life in the coming age, which is ours. But wait and wait, we're not in heaven yet. And that's what we learn in chapters 5 to 11. In those chapters, John qualifies the glories of chapter 1 to 4. I guess he must have found it necessary to do that in his day, just as it's necessary in our day. One with Christ, we shall never die. But as mortal beings, we bear the likeness of the earthly man. The sting of death remains sin. The power of sin remains the law. But, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Paul can say, and John would say just the same, my dear brothers, stand firm.